Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 98 of the Weekly Long Box. I'm Todd, joined with Leonard. How are we doing today, Leonard?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Do you have a good weekend?
Yeah, sure, I did. Had wrestling in Booton, New Jersey.
Ooh.
It was a really good show, really good event. Things are moving along in the world of wrestling for me. What did we do with the baby this week?
Did you pet animals with him?
No. He was in trouble or something. He got yelled at today. He was being bad. But other than that, I was good. How about yourself?
Me, I was just playing some Grand Theft Auto and going over my collection. I have a lot of statues, Leonard.
You were saying.
Yeah. There was a time when I was buying every statue that DC put out, the big ones, because they had little ones and medium-sized ones and big ones. So, like, medium to full-size. I found a Sergeant Rock statue behind some other statues.
Right.
And I don't think I've ever read Sergeant Rock.
Well, you know what? I'm telling you, it's better than my closet full of Ultimate Hulk busts that I have.
Oh, that's where the money's at.
Now, I actually had a few at one time when we would go to the old Wizard World Philadelphia, and I think Gentle Giant are the folks. They would have Transformer-exclusive busts.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I moved from my folks' house to the house that I'm living in now, I'm like, I need to get rid of things. So those were, like, the first to go. I sold them, like, I wasn't looking to make a profit, but I think I made, like, 10 to 15 bucks over. And then I had a Kang statue that someone broke, and it wasn't me, and it wasn't the baby.
Ah, sad.
So it really could have been anyone who broke it.
Ah, I gotcha. I think I'm narrowing down the suspects.
So what do we got on the docket for today, sir?
In the news, we have more TV shows coming up. We also have New York Comic Con sold out for multi-day passes, or is it? Mm-hmm. And teases for books, plenty of books coming out. There's just so many, I can't even keep track of them. We have what we read last week. I think we cross over on some stuff, and I have the worst villains book that I read of all of them.
Now, how many of them did you read?
I had at least like six or seven a week, if not more. I was like trying stuff based on writers like Matt Kent and, you know, Jimmy Palmiotti. And I was like, all right, I'll try these. And a lot of them were really good, but I tried this one and this one got some press. So I was not happy with it. So I thought I would express my feelings.
Now I know exactly what one it is, but we'll save it for later.
Yes. Yes. We're having what we look forward to this week. I don't know if we'll cross over, because this is a strange week for me.
This is a strange week as well, but you know what? I'm a betting man. I'm beating you in the football pool.
Oh, you are. Everybody is, but go ahead.
Have not watched a single game yet.
Yes.
So, so I'm thinking we're going to match up.
Okay.
I got a feeling.
Yep. We also have the digital sales, and we have the Twitter question of the week. What was your favorite non-superhero genre in comics? That's some interesting answers.
Very interesting answers, and I'm surprised Mayan got such little love. And maybe I'll make some recommendations on the show to convert people, because that's what we do, besides deliver the news, talk about comics, ramble on incessantly about our Sergeant Rock statues and Ultimate Hulk busts. Mm-hmm. We recommend books to people.
Yes.
You know, that happens all the time, people. And that's what we try to do, is we try to open up your horizons to new things and get us to like the things that we like so that people will buy them and they'll keep making the things that we like.
Yes. And I believe we both watched the new Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
Yeah, you want to start with that? We're like a week behind.
Yeah, I forgot to jam that in there in the show notes, but yeah, we could start with that.
Well, we can roll this right into TV talk of the new shows that are coming up.
That works. See, that's why you're in charge of this thing.
That's right. It's like as though we planned it to work out this way.
We're good. But anyway, go ahead.
So I knew the only thing I knew about the show was that Clark Gregg was back in the show after he had died in Avengers. Spoilers, everyone, for a movie that's a year and a half old.
Yes, and a TV show
that's a week old.
But yeah, I'm the same way. That's pretty much the only thing that I knew about the show was that he was back. I didn't know anything else.
And I got to see, I did my best to avoid spoilers because I didn't get a chance to see this just until the other day. Like I saw it like 5 days after it aired. So I did my best to avoid spoilers, but I saw a lot of people remarking about, like, well, if you're a Whedon fan, then you'll love it. If you don't like Whedon, you'll hate it. Or, I thought the jokiness was brr, brr, brr. I really enjoyed it. The only concerns I had with it was the opening scene where Michael, the hooded Avenger, when he saves the woman from the building, and like the special effect there of him jumping off the building was not good.
I agree with you. And there was another one where the agent steals the thingy and he's on the roof and the helicopter comes. And he grabs the rope, you know, and he goes off. And I was just like, I get it. But my feeling of what it is it's an Avenger-based and an Iron Man / Captain America / Thor-based world where all you've seen is movies with, you know, $200 million budgets.
Right.
So this is TV, and you're seeing this world thinking of the stuff you've seen before. And I think it is a bit jarring. But it's TV. What kind of budget do what would people want it to have? So I was like, yeah, that looks a little cheesy, and that looks a little cheesy. But you know what? This is 1,000 times better than the stuff I ever watched in my life. So I'm cool with, like, the effects. I have no problem with that.
And there were a couple parts where they're, like, really beating you over the head with how closely they're tied into the Avengers movie universe, which I'm fine with. I'm quite all right with it. I understand this is the pilot episode. We're assuming that, you know, the only thing you know is those movies, so we do have to remind you that, like, hey, we tie in. Don't leave just yet.
That's right.
But all in all, you know, it was a really good show. Like, I like the little team-building thing. I like the mystery involving Coulson. Things of that nature. But, yeah, it's definitely on the roster of things that I will continue to watch.
Yeah, like, I really liked it. I was happy with a lot of the nods to, like, the anything that wasn't even in the movies. Like, they mentioned Project Pegasus at one point. You know, there's just a couple others, and I'm watching it going, yeah, like, my brother's not a big, you know, he's a comic book fan, but media comic book fan. Like, he's seen the cartoons and he's seen the TV show. He's never sat down and read any of the comics, so he doesn't know. And so these are the things that, like, if I was watching him with, I know he wouldn't get. But as a fan, I'm like, oh, that's cool. And they're not just wedging them in, like, you know, ham-fisted and it makes no sense. I'm like, this is cool, and I like that. And I liked all the characters. Like you said, the team building, you get a little bit of everybody's mystery and, you know, let it play out over the course of the show. Had no problem with it. I'm going to watch every week, probably on demand, because I'm busy doing something when it's on. But probably just catch it every week now.
Right, and with the show going up, this show going up after S.H.I.E.L.D. has aired, I understand there is another surprise cameo in this episode as well.
Right, that's what I had heard even before it was up.
Oh,
I don't know what it. I don't know what it is. So I'm like going to keep my face off the Facebook and my Twitter off the Twitter.
And see, I'm okay with stuff like that on TV. I don't know why I'm not okay with that. And it, like, if this was a movie and somebody spoiled this on me, I'd be upset. But because it's a TV show, I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Right. Okay. I'll look at it when I get a chance. And let you
right.
know.
So I guess it won its time slot last week. It beat one of the CSI, SVU, Law & Order type shows that it was up against. So, you know, we'll see how the ratings persist in week 2 and 3 and 4. But apparently, as we were putting the bow on last week's episode, the announcement came out from DC that they're doing a Gotham TV show with James Gordon as the lead, with Batman villains, but no Batman.
I'm actually really fine with that concept. Reminds me of that great TV book called Gotham Central.
Yes, indeed.
I think you could do a lot with that. It reminds me of even when they did, I mean, that was a superhero show, when they did Birds of Prey. And granted, they had, you know, Black Canary in them in there, but there was no Batman. And I'm fine with that. I love Jim Gordon as a character, and, you know, I love police dramas. I think there's a lot you can do with it. Take from the book, make new stuff, have some of the villains go crazy. I think it could be a really cool show, and it's not tied, because I think it's on Fox, not W or CW. I keep saying
right.
WB, because that's what I grew up with, you know. But it's on Fox, so there's no way it's going to tie in with any of those other shows, so you get your own mythos. You don't have to worry about any of the other universe, and I think that helps. That could help it a lot too.
Right, and the fact that it's going to be on Fox and not UPN or something like that, Mm-hmm. That's what I refer to it as, because that's how old school I am.
Oh.
It'll be interesting to see what villains they're allowed to use.
Because
Batman's got quite a few villains. Like, I'm almost sure you're not going to see Joker, Penguin, Riddler, Catwoman, etc. And I wonder where the Mendoza line is going to be for, like, the C and D list villains that are going to populate this show. But if it's done well, you know, maybe it'll give those C and D list villains a resurgence.
Right. Mr. Zazz. That's what you want. He's a creepy guy. Lots of cool hero villains that you could use. And I'm with you. I don't know how big they're going to get. But, maybe Kite Man could come back. Something like that.
You know, he was in the Batman Brave and the Bold cartoon.
Was he? Was he using kites?
He certainly was. Okay. And there's an episode where they flip things, and it's a Joker episode, and they recreate the opening sequence that Batman does, but with the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene where Batman's driving the Batmobile, and then they show a bunch of different heroes that are in the show.
Right.
In the Joker one, he's driving the Joker-mobile, and they show a bunch of villains that are in the show, and Sinestro was shown just as prominently as Kite Man.
As it should be.
As it should be. Oh, man. So another TV show ended up getting announced, and that is NBC is doing a Constantine show.
I want to see how that's going to go, because I'm a huge Constantine fan, and I would like to see, you know, I saw the Constantine movie, and I will not knock that movie because it was fun, it was creepy, it was different, but it was not John Constantine to me. You know, John Constantine's a blonde guy from Britain, not Keanu Reeves. not that Keanu Reeves isn't one of our generation's greatest actors. I don't want to take that away from him. But I just don't, he's not Keanu Reeves, or he's not Constantine to me. So if they're going to do the show with Constantine, you know, do him the way I like, I'm all for it. But it makes me wonder, too, with the rumored Justice League Dark movie that they were doing, how that's all going to work out. But I'll definitely give a Constantine show a try.
Right, and these are just announcements at this point. And I'll say I never saw the Constantine movie because there is a ban in this household on Keanu Reeves films.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it has the words "and Ted" in the title, or it's a simple plan. We don't watch Keanu Reeves movies in this house.
Gotcha. Legally. So you would watch if they do get around to that new Ann Ted movie?
Right.
You would, okay, that would, just making sure. I think that
certainly
would be I think we'd have to live blog that, or live show that from a theater. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm not a big Keanu Reeves fan as an actor, other than the Ted movies and The Matrix, which was fantastic when he knew Kung Fu.
Oh.
I don't know if you saw that scene.
Are you doing this just to rile me up? Do you know? Because I went to go see that film in the theaters.
Yes, I know the story. I am actually
So if I haven't told the story on the show, you know, if I have told it, whatever. So I go to see the film with a bunch of friends, and get to that part where Keanu's in the Matrix, and then they bring us back to the real world, and he opens up his eyes, and he says, "Whoa, I know Kung Fu." I looked at my friends. I go, "Hey, guys, I'll catch you later," and I left. Because I'm like, this movie is utter junk. And I went out in the lobby of the theater, and I played Cowboys of the Mu Mesa, which is the, you know, like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game engine with
right.
The cartoon of Cowboys of the Mu Mesa just, like, over it, like the Simpsons one and all those other ones that they did similarly.
Gotcha.
So that was the most of The Matrix I'll see, and I understand that I got out while the getting was good, because everyone who loves that first movie hates the next two.
Right. Oh, you missed by a little bit. You should have stayed to the end of the first one, but then after that, it's garbage. So, but you know, Keanu Reeves, he's good.
No, he's not. He's horrible.
So who's worse, him or Ryan Reynolds?
Ryan Reynolds.
Wow, that was just quick.
Oof, yeah, I think Keanu has some redemption in it, and Keanu has three projects that I can watch him in, and he's completely tolerable.
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds has a big, giant goose egg.
The big squadouche, gotcha.
That's right.
Okay.
So just moving on in news, as you had mentioned, New York four-day passes are sold out.
Mm-hmm.
However, Avatar is giving away a deal where if you buy this crazy platinum set for like $300, You get all these different collections, you get all these different variants, and you also get a four-day pass, but there's only like 150 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know if they're left. Now, I was actually talking to a friend of mine, my friend Doug, who does a podcast about wrestling called The Rabblecast.
Okay.
And he and his compatriot on The Rabblecast got passes for New York. It's not the 4 days, but they got the Friday, Saturday passes.
Ah, not because they're podcasters or just bought them as themselves?
Media.
Media.
Yep. They're like, oh, what could it hurt? You know, who knows? And they sent the thing in and they're like, yep, here you go. Enjoy.
Okay. That's an idea.
Yes, it is. So if I was going, or if I didn't already buy my ticket like you did, perhaps next year, if you know, once the man gets to a certain age and I'm able to cart him around a little bit easier, I think we're going to try to get media guest passes for all the cons.
That wouldn't be a bad idea.
Nope. That's our goal for 2014.
And you know what? 2013 was going to be my retirement tour.
Oh.
But I think I got one more year in me, Leonard. One more year.
Oh, goodness. You're the Terry Funk of con retirements.
Yep, I'm the Brett Favre of con retirements.
Oh, that guy from Something About Mary.
Yes, that's where he's known from.
That's where I know him from.
Yes, I know. Your pics show me that you know that. That's where it's from. But anyway.
So speaking of New York, it looks as though Marvel has teased pretty much every single one of their announcements that they're doing at New York Comic Con, which I think is really cool that they did that. Gets a lot of people talking, gets some buzz going. I hope DC responds in kind and actually announces some cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is speculation at this point. There's those, I'm sure you've all seen them, where it's like a one-page ad, and it has just a word in giant bold letters, and then it has the creative team, and it says what panel they're going to make the announcement at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something involving Bendis, there's something involving, you know, Dan Slott and Mike Allred, which, you know, there's been speculation that there's a Silver Surfer book coming. A lot of it is returns or relaunches of previously canceled or, you know, soft canceled books like Captain Marvel or X-Factor, some rebranding of some books like Thunderbolts looks like it might be getting a relaunch or maybe a new number one. So it'll be very interesting to see what actually comes from those teases, but the one actual announcement that they've made, was that Charles Soule is going to be doing a She-Hulk book.
Is that the guy we like on this show?
That is the guy that we like on this show.
Okay.
And I don't know if you saw, I tweeted at him, over the weekend. He was doing a little Q&A on the old Twitter machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I tweeted at him, and, I foolishly forgot the Superman Wonder Woman book coming out. But when She-Hulk comes out, he will be doing 6 monthly books.
And how many of those will you be getting?
I get all 6.
Wow. I'll probably get all 6 too.
And again, if Marvel or any company wants these podcasters' money, instead of doing your New 52, your Villains Month, your all new Marvel Now, whatever it is that you're doing, even if it's just a misprint, say that Charles Soule is writing all the books for your company that month, and I will buy all those books.
Yes.
In the off chance that I miss something.
That would be awesome. You just see your little ledger filled up with Charles Soule books.
Yeah.
Every month. I'm the same way. I follow just about everything he does, and, you know, probably will be getting on board with some other stuff. And I'm looking forward to the She-Hulk book. I love She-Hulk during the John Byrne run, you know, but, you know, and the Dan Slott run was really good, too. So I'm ready for another go.
Yes, indeed. So obviously that book is not coming out for another 4 months. But when the day comes, be sure that we will be reminding you of said book on this very show, along with all the other Charles Soule books. And Todd will be our man on the streets in New York. But I'm sure the week after New York, we'll be talking about all the new Marvel books that were launched or relaunched or rebranded or what may have you.
Mm-hmm.
So in things that aren't rebranded or re-what have you, there's some digital stuff available for free this week. A lot of repeat stuff, actually. a lot of repeat stuff. That Ultimate Comics Armor Wars number one they've given away before, and I think Fear Itself number one they've given away before as Marvel. Also, Magneto Not a Hero, a miniseries by Scotty Young, they're giving that away for free as well. Every week Marvel does three books. There they are. Boom, boom, boom. Dynamite is having a sale as well on all their pulp stuff. They got The Shadow, they've got The Spider, they've got Masks. All of that stuff is available for 99 cents, and I think they even do them as the collections if you want to do them that way. And that's some good stuff. I know that early Shadow stuff was written by Garth Ennis, so if you're a Garth Ennis fan and want to see him do some pulpy stuff, it's all on sale.
That Shadow run by Garth Ennis was awesome.
Mm.
So I can't recommend it enough.
You're gonna make me buy it, aren't you?
Yeah. Hey, I think it's some down to earth, not crazy, wacky, out there. You know, he's solid writing. So pick it up, Leonard. Don't hesitate.
I got 2 days. Well, he only did the first 6 issues.
Yeah.
I could maybe do that.
Can you fit it into your budget?
I think I could. The other thing that I want to mention, I would be remiss to mention. That this weekend, we were talking about New York Comic Con, that's next weekend. This weekend is Dallas Comic Con in the greater Dallas, Texas area. I know there's a lot of stuff going on these days in Texas. I know Austin is booming, but don't overlook Dallas. They have a lot of your media guests, your John Barrowman, your Walking Dead people, your Anthony Daniels, Ron Perlman, but they also have a lot of comics people going to be there, Neil Adams, among others. So if you are in the greater Texas Dallas area, be sure to go check that out, because, any convention is a good convention.
Yes, it is. Conventions are fun.
Yes. So we wrapped up those notable plugaroos. We wrapped up our digital stuff, and hey, speaking of digital stuff, now's a good time to mention our sponsor, a great digital item in the Transporter. It's an unlimited sharing device with no recurring fees or hidden costs. You don't have to worry about the cloud. This is a device that you actually keep and you keep track of. You don't have to worry about any sort of weird passwords or anything else like that. You can access your files from any device anywhere in the world. There's apps for Android, there's apps for iPhone that you can get your files. And in this day and age, where everything is on the computer, your pictures, your music, everything you have is on the computer, back it up and do so with our friends at File Transporter. They have devices as small as, normal hard drive size, all the way up to 2 terabytes, which, believe me, is a lot of data to back up.
Yes, it is. You won't have to worry with that much backup. And if you're looking for it, it's at filetransporter.com/longbox. You can go there, learn all about it, look around. They have all the information that you need. And if you're interested, just click on the buy link and find connected data. They're the fine people who created this good device. And click on that. And at checkout, put in the code LONGBOX for 10% off your order. 10% off an order. That's pretty good. Save some money is always good, we say here on the show.
That's right. And it's a deal at the price that it is because you get to control the device. Like I said, I hate having to deal with the cloud. I always get prompted to do the cloud with my phone, with my Xbox, all of it. No, I want, I'm sure one day I'll come around. But today's not that day, and today's day is to get yourself a Transporter device and let them know that we sent you the way that Todd told you to send them.
I did that well.
So where do you want to begin with what we read from last week? How about Saga, since that's the one that we were both looking forward to?
Yes, I was actually going to mention that because I put out a little tweet this week about that.
Oh, that was the one. I was going to guess that this was the one that, got a little dusty in the house while you were reading it, huh?
Yep, and Craig Pearson sent us a thing, and he said, maybe you're chopping onions. So I was like, yes, dusty onions. So that's what I'm going to call a sad book from now on that makes me cry, is a dusty onion.
That's the title of this week's episode, by the way.
Oh, is that what it is? I won't have to ask you after the show now.
No, you won't have to. Right, you won't have to worry about saying anything foolish during the rest of the episode. You tweeted that the other day. I'm like, that's the title of the episode.
Gotcha. But I love this book, from the two media guys, the or whatever you want to call them, like the reporters. But my favorite thing was the mother talking with the writer, And I just, as I was reading that, as we're getting closer to the end of that scene, I'm like, my heart is breaking for what's happened to these characters. And I'm like, you know what? That's the saddest that this book can get. And as beautiful as this book can get. And then there's a scene with the little girl and Lion Cat. And I lost my stuff. I was like, this is one of the most beautiful pages, just one page, but I forget how many panels that I've seen in comics in a long, long time. And if I could own that page, I would kill you, Leonard. They would give me that. But go ahead. What did you think of
No murder, please. Not over pages.
Yes. But it was a good page. Let me just put it that way.
But yeah, this is, you know, we've mentioned it before. There was a little bit of a hiatus on the book, of course. Brian K. Vaughan was taking... I actually told a friend, you know, when I mentioned last week on the show that he was doing the show running on the Under the Dome TV show, a friend of mine told me, he's like, now I have to hate Brian K. Vaughan because he doesn't like that show. I've never seen it.
I haven't either.
So I really can't speak on that, as it were. But we saw a lot of stuff in the last issue and a lot of the hallucinations that we're seeing involving the stock.
Yes, and the character, the Will, right?
Yes, the Will and the stock and what he's seeing and what he's doing. I have a feeling that at some point we're going to get a longer story just on him, kind of maybe like a redemption story for him.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a really good issue, a really great issue. Like you had said, the stuff with the mother and the writer were great. Great, great, great stuff. You can get back on board with Saga very easily. The trades are always available. Image does a great job in getting these books out as quickly as they can. And, you know, digitally, hey, even the thing at the... I think what leads me to believe that the Will is going to get his own little spin-off and redemption-y stuff is what we see on the last page.
Mm-hmm.
I think he may be on a detour on his quest.
Yes. But do you think that'll be in another book or here?
I think it'll be here. I don't see... if Saga was a book at one of the big two, that would be a spin-off book.
Gotcha.
But because this is, you know, not a typical book, it's at Image, it's going to be the story that Vaughn wants to tell, it's all going to be in the pages of this book.
I could see, like, him doing... Did you read Ex Machina?
I did.
I could see him maybe doing a special for characters like he did. Do you remember there was those couple of specials for Ex Machina? And I could see something like that. But yeah, it's all going to be in this book. I would buy a special.
Specials actually were more so they can have issues come out and not have the issues drawn by Tony Moore.
Tony Harris.
My apologies. Tony Harris. So, to have the issues come out and not have them drawn by Tony Harris.
Gotcha.
And so they could say, well, like, hey, the whole 50-issue run was done by Tony Harris.
Mm-hmm.
But these four specials, you know, I guess they count, but they weren't done by Tony Harris. So,
mm-hmm.
I just have a weird feeling that the redemption of the Will is going to be in the book itself, not in a spinoff.
Gotcha.
But I could be wrong. Listen, this is purely speculation.
I thought that was what you were implying, so I figured I'd ask. But anyway.
No, I'm just speculating here, my good man.
Yes, as long as you're not speculating on buying books, that's all I care about.
Definitely not. Just on Ultimate Hulk busts.
Ah. But if you were going to speculate, you know what the book to speculate on was?
Go on.
Joker's Daughter.
What was that? What was the Batman on the Joker's Daughter? Like the bat, it was obviously it was 23.4, but was it Dark Knight? Was it Detective? Where was that one?
It was Dark Knight 23.4.
So, yeah, I did not want anything to do with this issue.
I did. I bought the regular. It's not like I was going to go out and spend $80 on the 3D one. If right. I did, I'd put it in a microwave like somebody else did. But I read this. I was like, okay, it's getting a lot of hype. I'm going to try it. Or, you know, get it and review it for the show or whatever. I'm just going to try it. And it was the most god-awful book that I've read in a while. It makes no sense. Stuff happens. I don't know. There's an undersea There's a city that's under Gotham that you have to swim to get to because of the way it was either designed or just made by nature, that it's like a trap and a sink so water will stay out. So you have to use floaties and air. People use garbage bags with air in it so they can breathe. Already there, I was lost. But it's this girl, and the reason she's the Joker's daughter is because, and I'm going to spoiler alert everybody, she just finds the face from Batman floating in the water and puts it on. There's your whole origin.
That's her origin story?
Yep. She's now the Joker's daughter. And apparently the people who live in this in these caverns that you have to swim through are all Arkham escapees, so they're all crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I stopped reading. So it was just, I couldn't believe how bad it was. I try to be positive on the show, but wow, because all the press it was getting for how much it's going for, and you know, the books and this and that, and everybody's like, oh, the Joker's daughter's the next, you know, kid, put my kid through college. I was like, yeah, but not the story. The story's terrible.
Yeah, so Batman The Dark Knight 23.4: The Joker's Daughter #1 gets Todd's negative 5-star recommendation.
Yes.
Oh, man. Well, I'm sure that book is what it is, and I'm sure the people buying that book are not reading it.
Gotcha. And if you got the 3D cover, even better.
Oh, but man. We'll so let's talk go. About something good.
Yes.
You did read Justice League 23.4 Secret Society, correct?
Yes, I did.
Now, this was one that I did not initially pick up because I was trying to limit the amount of books that I was getting since... one, they weren't being done by the regular creative teams, and two, I wasn't really sure where a lot of stuff lined up for Forever Evil, which I was going to be reading.
Mm-hmm.
From what I understand, this and Lex Luthor were the only two books that really, truly are essential, mark, to Forever Evil.
I would have to agree with that. I've read a lot of books. A lot of them are just going on after, or you know, after the stuff that happens in issue one of Forever Evil, but they don't, like, they're like, oh, this is what's happened after, so I'm fine with that. But yes, this one and Lex Luthor, as far as I'm concerned, are exactly what you said. They're big time tie-ins.
Right, so this is more or less just a story in regarding the Outsider, who we know from reading Forever Evil and the previous Trinity War stuff is the Alfred from Earth 3. And this is just kind of him telling a story involving Batman and Joker of Earth 3, where Joker, I guess, is a good guy, and I guess dies?
Yep.
And the reason I say I guess, is because I have a feeling that it is not the last we'll see of him?
I'm wondering, not because of anything in this book,
mm-hmm.
but the way they made it sound at the end of, you know, the whole Trinity War and in the Forever Evil 1, that their planet's like a husk, and these are the only people who survived the
Crime Syndicate.
Crime Syndicate. I couldn't think of the name of the people. So I'm under the that they're the only ones left. But I would like to see some of these characters pop up from Earth 3, because I always love the history of the reverse, you know, of it, that the heroes are the good guys and the good guys are the bad guys are the good guys on their planet. But so yeah, I don't know.
Right, so if your store has this one in stock and you're reading Forever Evil, get this one, get Lex Luthor as well to really get the full gist of the story. My only real complaint about this story, and it's nothing against the artist, Szymon Krasinski,
mm-hmm.
is that in the flashback, the fight scene, obviously it's in the dark, it's on a rooftop, it's in the rain, but it was very difficult to make out what was going on. In right. some spots, the way the art was laid out. Mm-hmm. And I understand the effect he was going for, but hundreds and hundreds of people have drawn thousands upon thousands of Batman stories in the dark, in the rain, and they were easier to follow than this one.
Right.
And it's not a complaint. It was still an overall good story. It was just like the way the fight scene was drawn and colored just made it a little difficult to follow.
And I like his art. I like the way he does people. I thought his Joker looked awesome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
That version of it. So I know what you're saying. His storytelling may be a little weak, but I love his stuff. So I think, you know, he has a tremendous upside that we could look forward to him if he can put out books on a consistent basis. But I liked Secret Society.
Yes, I liked it, too. So What book would you like to talk about next, sir?
I'll talk about the one that I don't think you read. Was Jupiter's Legacy?
No. Jupiter's Legacy number 3 by Mark Millar and Frank Quitely.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is kind of like a Rising Stars pastiche, kind of, sort of.
Kind of, yes. Years ago, a crew of people find something and they get powers. I can't even spoil it because they really don't go into it. We just know that they jump forward to our time and they have powers and their descendants have powers. So they have these families. And the two main ones who are brothers are older now. And the one is sticking to the tried and true superhero mythos. He's like, he believes in secret identities and being grounded and walking among men, while the rest of them, and especially the kids, you know, are more of like, you know, modern. They're like, this is stupid. We should be able to do whatever we want, and they get in trouble and stuff like that. Well, this is the two brothers not seeing eye to eye, because one wants to help right the ship of the country because it's going down the tubes, and the other one's like, that's not what we do. And stuff starts to come to a head, and I'm one of those guys who I think Mark Millar can be a jerk, but I am a fan of his books most of the time. And this one was just crazy, like with what was going on and the way he was doing it. And I loved it as the big drawn out battle happens and the way it goes and the way some people use their powers. I just think, you know, Mark Millar has it, and I'm really enjoying Jupiter's Legacy, but it's not for the squeamish. I'll put it that way.
Now, I understand that this book is like kind of, it started in April. Like, is it on a bi-monthly schedule, or?
I think so.
Or is it
so.
Just whenever it comes out is whenever it comes out?
Since I don't have a list of stuff that I get, I don't know exactly. But I think it might be whenever it comes out, because Frank Quitely's not known for banging out books. And Mark Millar, I think, has had a few things that have been late in the past, too, so. I don't know. I have no idea what the schedule of the book is. I just enjoy it whenever it comes out.
Hmm. I might have to check that out. Yeah, it definitely looks like it's almost like, because the first issue was April, the second issue was June, and then the next issue was September. So it looks like it's more whenever it comes out is when it comes out.
Gotcha. I mean, even if people wanted to trade weight it, I'd understand because, but it's just one of those books. I don't know why. Every time I see it on the thing, just have to buy it.
So I'm going to talk about one. Did you read Wolverine and the X-Men number 36?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Are you reading any of the other Battle of the Atom stuff?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you are?
Yes, well, because I get all new X-Men.
Okay.
And I tried whatever the second... Well, I got the first one-shot, because that was... they had an issue where it was just that.
Yes.
And then the next one was all new X-Men, so I get that. Then I didn't get, is it Uncanny X-Men or whatever the other one is that Bacala was drawing?
Right, Uncanny.
I didn't pick that up, and I didn't pick up Wolverine and the X-Men.
Okay, so you're kind of piecemealing your way through this one as well.
Right.
So I did get the first issue of Battle of the Atom, just to kind of get the premise of what the book was about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from reading that and then reading this issue of Wolverine and the X-Men number 36, they do a real good job of recapping what's going on in the little recap page.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get too spoilery with this because something kind of big happens in the last page of this to kind of set up the second arc, you know, the back half of the story.
Gotcha.
But essentially, as the Marvel Now is going on, Cyclops is a jerk. Hank McCoy decides we're going to go back and get the original five X-Men, maybe to smack some sense into Scott to see what a jerk he's being, and maybe that'll right him, if he could see his younger self. They decide to stay in the present time. I think Angel sides up with present day Cyclops, and in the Battle of the Atom issue, something happens where a Sentinel kills young Cyclops,
mm-hmm.
and it causes present day Cyclops to blink out of existence, and then Cyclops has on his team a guy with a super crazy mutant healing power, brings young Cyclops back to life, and then Cyclops blinks back into existence. Current day Cyclops blinks back into existence as though nothing happened. It's at that point that they decide, like, hey, maybe it's not a good idea for these guys to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
So when they decide to send them back, a group of future X-Men show up and say, no, you can't. So those are battling on. We find out who Zorn is, who female Zorn is.
Right, I know who that is.
Okay, you know who that is. I don't want to give that away.
Right.
So the decision is finally made for them to go back to their time. But before they do, they decide to go back to the time from whence these future X-Men came.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the wrinkle happens.
Gotcha.
It's a very interesting story. And I'm intrigued to see how it's going to play out. I'm just happy that Wolverine and the X-Men is kind of like the tail end chapters of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I will get the wrap up of the first, you know, the first four issues in this issue. And since I think Wolverine and the X-Men 37 will be the wrap up of the whole storyline, you know, outside of Battle of the Atom, I think I'm getting the full story with just sticking with my Wolverine and the X-Men.
That's cool. I'm hoping when I get whatever I'm get the next book after this is, if it's, I don't know if they go into all new X-Men again or what's going on. I'm confused on the order. I'm just going to get those and hopefully it'll all be together. And then the Omega, I call it, like, you know, because they always had the Alpha and Omegas at Marvel of the Battle of the Atom. Cause I think they have issue two, like you said, and that's all I'm doing. I'm not going to go dipping my toe into all these other books with all the companies going crazy. So hopefully I'll be there. If not, I can always just text you and you could tell me.
That's right. All new X-Men actually is the one that's coming out this week.
Gotcha. So they'll probably have a recap in that for me. So,
oh boy, do they ever.
Good.
So the last book I want to talk about is a book that Todd and I read. And this is a book I almost wasn't going to read. And that is Sex Criminals by Matt Fraction and Chip Zdarsky on art.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very tough time reading a lot of Matt Fraction stuff pre-Hawkeye. I just couldn't, like, I understand he's a good writer. I understand a lot of people were into his stuff. And it wasn't until Hawkeye that he really clicked with me as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
I tried his FF. I tried his Fantastic Four. It didn't click with me. I tried Satellite Sam. That didn't click with me. And just based on, like, three not clickings in a row, I'm like, well, I'm not going to try this.
Right.
And then, on a whim, I decided to try it.
Yes.
And I liked it. I liked it a lot. I thought it's a very unique premise. The art is very well done. And I think Fraction does a very good job with an interesting story device telling.
Right.
That doesn't work. Like, the way he tells the story in this almost makes it feel like a movie. It's like this is a storytelling device that you would see in a movie, like a kind of a high concept movie.
Right, right.
That normally wouldn't work in a comic book, but it works here.
Gotcha. I know what you mean, like the flashback scenes and stuff like that. But I'm with you. That was interesting. I actually was going to say the thing I liked the most about it was some of the storytelling devices that he used and the way he did it. And I actually didn't think I was going to care for it. And I'm a Fraction guy. I've read probably more Fraction and enjoyed it than you have. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay, this just seems like a premise to sell it, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Because that, as they always say, sells. The title. And I was like, oh, is it going to be any good? Is it just going to be, you know, him using this device because it's sexy and stuff like that? But as I was reading it, I thought it was really cool. And as we got to the end and things flipped on its head and got back to what the first page or so was, I was like, this is done really, really well. And I would definitely read more of this.
Right, and obviously we're kind of being a little coy in regards to talking about what the book is about, but it's a book called Sex Criminals. I think you can get what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
There was one scene that I felt like, you know, obviously it's a mature reader books. It's about sex. There's the one scene where Susie talks to the dirty girl.
Yes, and with the Sharpie?
Yes.
Gotcha.
That scene may have been a little much. And I don't want to say that it was in there to try to shock people. Because if you've ever read an interview with Fraction or if you follow Fraction on Twitter, he's a little wacky, he's a little zany. So that like kind of plays into his sensibilities. And I'm no prude by any stretch of the imagination. But I can definitely see the average comic going reading type person to be like, ooh, okay, maybe, okay, all right, let's dial it back. Okay.
My take on that scene is that scene was, was good, but it went on too long.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. If it didn't go on, like, they could have shaved a page.
That's what I'm thinking. I was like, the gags, if you want to call them that, they got, you know, as I was like, okay, the first couple, and I'm like, and I'm no prude either. You know that. And I'm watching this, I'm going, to me, this just isn't even funny anymore. It's just, you're dragging it out. And I think, like you said, if you had cut some off, you would have been great. But I'm with you on that scene, totally.
Right, but do not let this talk detract you. I thought it was a very good book. If you are a Fraction person, definitely check this out.
Yes. What do we have next?
So I think that covers everything that we read from this past week.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't have anything else. Oh, you know what I did pick up on your recommendation, though?
Hmm.
And Dave's? Can you guess a book that you told me about?
A book that I told you about?
No. You've done it on the show. You've mentioned it on the show and said I would probably like it because of the tone. All right, I'll just do it because it's Superior Foes of...
Superior Foes of Spider-Man.
Yes, I picked those. I picked the three issues up and read them all. And I believe later today issue 4 comes out, so I'm hooked.
Oh, yeah, you like it?
I actually really did. I like... I almost called him Captain Boomerang for a second, but I like Boomerang's character and some of the side stuff that's going on. It just kills me. But I don't know what the plan is, and I want to see where we're going with this.
Yeah, I'm glad. You know what? And I feel so stupid for not knowing what you were talking about. Yeah, because it's such a fun book, and I think this is going to be, like I said before, this is going to be one of those books that people are like, man, I wish I read it. I wish it was still around. I wish I was reading it. I wish it was still around because it's like that. I think it's that good of a book. It's going to be one of those people that's like a Hawkeye, like a Daredevil, you know, like something like that for Marvel. And, you know, looking at the sales numbers, it you know, obviously it dropped off quite a bit from its initial month.
Right.
But the second issue did, you know, better than expected for a book starring Boomerang.
Gotcha. And because it's actually funny because Dave actually, I was like, Dave's pushing it. He's like, Todd, he's like, it's got this stupid JLI feel. And I don't mean stupid in that, but, you know, like some of the gags they do. And I'm like, all right, every time somebody uses JLI, I get nervous because, you know, those are big shoes to fill. Now, it's not JLI to me, but it has that feel. I have no problem saying that. But I was like, so Dave, is it ongoing or a mini? He goes, it's a book with Boomerang in it. They say it's an ongoing, but it's a mini. And I'm like, okay, I get what you're saying there. I don't, like you said, I don't know how long that can sustain sales, but as long as it does, I think I'm on board.
Awesome, awesome. So is that the one you're most looking forward to coming out this week?
It might be now, yes.
Oh, okay. So before we had talked about Superior Foes of Spider-Man number 4, what was the book that you were looking most forward to coming out this week?
It would be Forever Evil 2.
Oh, we don't line up. Oh. Pshaw, pshaw.
Oh, well. But
that's okay. Because I was hoping that we could talk about this. And Forever Evil 2 is going to be great, I think. I really like the first issue. I think the second issue is going to continue down that same path, especially if you pick up the two books that we had mentioned before, the Secret Society and the Lex Luthor books, for the enhanced reading experience. But the book I'm most looking forward to coming out this week is Swamp Thing number 24.
Ah, that's a good one.
Charles Soule, this is the beginning of the official run of the Cedar. We've seen Cedar pop up in a few issues. He had that little 2-3 issue run to begin the series with Superman and the Scarecrow in it. We saw the other two issues with the John Constantine and the Whiskey Tree. This is the jumping on point for his big story arc that he has planned. It goes into the annual that comes out in December. Does the annual come out? No, the annual comes out this month. So there's actually two issues of this story this month. One now, one at the end of the month. If you've been hearing us talk about Swamp Thing, if you've been hearing us talk about Charles Soule, how good he is as a writer, if you've been doubting whether or not to jump on the book or not, now is the time to jump on the book. This week's issue number 24. Do not let it escape your grasp.
Yes.
So I think that covers everything here.
I was hoping yours was going to be Doctor Who, Prisoners of Time 9.
No.
But it wasn't. Okay, you're in the home stretch, though, just so you know. But anyway, I'll let you go.
Again, I make the joke, I'm a prisoner of that book.
Yes.
It has me under lock and key.
That's a different book by Joel.
That is a different book.
Right.
So, just want to mention here, of course, as we're getting ready to close out the show, be sure you follow the show on Twitter, @WeeklyLongBox. That's where you can find out all the information about the latest and greatest in the world of comic books and related things, and I think they're doing a good job of preventing any sort of spoilers in regards to S.H.I.E.L.D. over there, as are we, obviously, since we're talking about the show a week behind.
Yes.
You can also follow Todd on Twitter @RokerTheJoker. That's R-O-W-K-E-R, The Joker.
Yes.
I am L.F. Chikarison. That's L-F-C-H-I-K-A-R-S-A-O-N. I think I might have spelled that wrong as I'm just reading it off my thing. Let's try that one more time. L-F-C-H-I-K-A-R-A-S-O-N. I think I threw an extra A in there because I'm a dum-dum.
Yes.
So I want to mention that I tweeted out a picture of a page from a comic book. Our good friend Tom Derenick is the artist, one of the alternating artists on the Injustice Gods Among Us comic book.
Yes.
The digital smash sensation.
It's huge.
And the print copies that no one can keep in stock because everyone wants to get their mitts on it. I'm going to include that in the show notes there as well. And I tweeted it out the other day, and I think Todd retweeted it, the Weekly Long Box tweeted it, everybody retweeted it, because that's a pretty cool page of a comic book. Got lots of cool characters in there. Everybody that you could ever want is in that picture. You got your Robin, you got Flash, you got Wonder Woman, you got Cyborg, you got Superman. How would you like to own that page? And I don't mean like a digital PDF. I mean the actual printed page suitable for framing or whatever you may want to do.
Actually, you can get that page in your greedy little hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I would do anything, but what do we have to do?
Well, our 100th episode is coming up soon.
Is it really?
It is. I think you would have to listen to next week's episode to find out how you can get that page.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah, so tell your friends. Well, actually, yeah, tell your friends to listen. But don't tell them to enter, because you're the one who wants the page. But right. Next week's episode, we're going to tell you how you can win that page. And then we're going to announce the winner on our 100th episode.
That's cool.
We try to give away cool things, make a momentous occasion for our 100th episode, and give something back to you, the loyal longtime listener here of the Weekly Long Box. And that's the thing. I tell you, our listeners, you know, we've been having some connectivity issues, whether it be through iTunes, the RSS feed. We've been doing some updates with the website recently. And our fans want the show. And we're doing our best to make sure we can get it. It's going to be for the better. In the long run, it's going to be a better site. It's going to be a better, you know, everything for the show. We do appreciate as we go through these growing pains to get this updated.
Yes, we appreciate you listening.
So let's get to our Twitter question from last week. And the question was, outside of superheroes, what is your favorite genre in comic books? And we had a lot of people mention horror. You know, Mike Schaefer, Noel Margate, Heather Hanscar, all of our longtime listeners mentioned that. We had a lot of folks mention sci-fi, Luis DeSantos, Andrew Walsh, new listener, mentioned that. Sword and Sorcery got some mentions. Michael Lee Carter and a longtime listener. Good to see you back. Mark Goetzinger mentioned those. But the far and away winner for everyone, and again, everyone used a different way to say it, but we all got around to the same point because everyone gave an example of the book they meant. And most people said pretty much whatever fables fits into, fantasy, mystical, mythic fantasy. But fantasy was the far and away choice of all of our listeners. And I like fantasy. I got a lot of fantasy stuff. You know, I guess you can classify Sandman as fantasy.
Yes.
Fables is definitely fantasy. But that wasn't my choice. What was your choice, Todd?
I'll see. I'll buy you a $2.99 book tomorrow if you can guess mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
A $2.99 book.
Right. One of your $2.99 books.
Would it be Western?
No, I'm gonna have to buy you a $2.99 book.
Yeah, I'm thinking to myself. I'm like, is it War? I'm like, no, he's never read a Sergeant Rock comic in his life.
I was hoping you would say War.
I almost did. Western.
Yes, it is definitely Western. I've loved Western movies, Western comics. I don't know if it's, you know, it shows from us doing the show, but Jonah Hex, you know, Batlash, all those weird ones. I actually wish I bought more of them back in the day. But yeah, I'm gonna pick Western.
You want to go Double or Nothing and guess mine?
Let's see. You said it's something nobody picked, right?
Nothing I said.
No, I mean of any of the listeners picked.
No, somebody got it.
Oh. What could it be?
See, usually somebody questioned, you know, I think why we didn't mention their choice. Usually if a bunch of people pick it,
right,
I'll mention it. And if only one person mentions, you know, their choice, I usually don't mention it unless they match up with me.
Ah, okay.
And then I say, this person's correct.
Is it crime?
It's crime.
Oh.
I love, because what I did was, I looked at the books that I have, and I'm like, I have a ton of crime stuff. And, you know, Gotham Central is essentially a crime book.
Yes.
You know, Sleeper, the Ed Brubaker book, even though there's some superhero stuff, it's essentially a crime book. Then I have, like, all these criminal books, Fatale, and all these other things. And, like, even though there's other elements in them, they're essentially crime books. You know, Alias, the Bendis book, that was a crime book. Jinx, Powers, all these things were, like, crime.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, it looks like I like a lot of crime books.
You're on a crime spree, basically.
I'm on a Ryman spree.
Ah. Rhyme and spree. But yeah, that's I like crime too. That's a good one. I wouldn't have guessed that from the beginning, but I wouldn't, you know. So I guess we don't have to get each other a book.
That's
now.
Right.
Good.
That's right. Double or nothing.
Yeah. Next week.
Next week we'll see if we line up. So did you think of a question for next week?
Yes, I did.
All right.
What superhero do you think has the best villains?
Oh boy!
As an overall, like, you know, like if you think it's Superman with Brainiac, Lex Luthor, Doomsday, that's your choice. If you think it's Spider-Man with the Green Goblin, Rhino, Sandman, just as a group, you like them. You like that group of villains the best.
Who has the best rogues gallery?
Yes, I didn't want to put it that way, but yes.
Who has the best? Because again, you know, like obviously, you know, you can't say like one person because like maybe it's the Avengers. Maybe the Avengers as a whole have the best villains, or maybe the X-Men, or maybe the Justice League.
Right. Yes.
In your opinion, I know our local retailer, Dave. His is Superman. That's why you'd mention that up front.
Yes, it's definitely Toyman leads the charge.
Toyman leads the charge, indeed. Oh, boy.
That would have been the name of the show if it wasn't Dusty Onions.
That's right. That's going on the maybe pile. I have the maybe pile of, like, dummy ones that gotcha. I use when we can't think of something for the show.
Toyman leads the charge.
Where was his Villains United 3D cover?
Oh, he's got a book coming out. He doesn't.
He's the Toyman.
Well, he's going to be in one of the issues of Superman Batman.
That's right.
In the previous, and it hits all the thing that our retailer loves. It's Toyman, and he makes a video game come to life, or you get put in a video game. I read it to him. He almost fainted. And he's like, that's everything I hate. He's like, if you threw in Weather Domination, that would be perfect.
He got the vapors.
Yes, he locked up. So.
Oh, Dave, he's so delicate.
Yes, he is. If you throw Kang in there too, boom.
How dare he?
I know. You guys don't see eye to eye on Kang.
I'm going to give him my prankster pitch tomorrow.
I can't wait to hear that.
I'm going to make a special trip just to tell him.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, so that's our question for next week. Who has the best villains? We are going to avoid saying Rogues Gallery, you know, because it could be a team that has the best villains, right?
Right.
So, yeah. So let us know. Just throw the hashtag GrizzWLQ on there. Or shoot me an email at lfchikarasin@ymail.com. I promise I'll spell my name correctly. And we'll include you in the compiling of all the votes, and we'll talk about them all next week right here.
Yes.
So I guess anything else you need to wrap up before we close out the show?
No, not that I can't believe it's, you know, 8 days to the New York Comic Con. Other than that, I'm good.
Oh, boy. Did you see they released a bunch of the exclusives that they're selling, like Image and Marvel put their stuff up?
Yeah, I have to look through it more because they put some up a few days ago and then recently again. So if you see anything, let me know.
I'm thinking about it. I'm sure you could figure out the one that I'm thinking about. But I gotta see how the finances look next week.
I think I know what you're talking about. I heard rumors about it. I haven't looked yet.
Yeah. So. But it wouldn't be for me, it'd be for the man. So that'd be my way to get around it.
Oh, well, of course. It's not for you. It's for the little guy, so...
No, that's right. The Rocket Raccoon plush.
Okay.
But, $35, though.
Well, it is his birthday coming up.
Yeah, he already got his birthday. Well, he'll never listen to this. He already got his birthday present.
Gotcha.
He'll never download the show and listen to it on his iPod.
I'm thinking if it was Cookie Monster eating cars... For an hour, he would be all over.
I'm doing the Cookie Monster Eats Cars podcast. You wait and see.
Aren't you doing that later today?
No.
Oh, it's a different one? Okay.
That's a different one. I'm going to mention Cookie Monster Eating Cars. I'm going to mention the Ultimate Hulk bust in the closet. I only have like 6 jokes.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? And I'm doing 3 podcasts this week, so they're all going to get worn thin.
Well, just, you know what? Go to your bread and butter and make fun of Doctor Who for an hour.
All right.
You know.
He's a fellow Doctor Who. The gentleman that I'm doing the show with, he's tweeted at us before. Kevin Ford.
Yeah, I know who he is, yes.
Yes, I'm doing his podcast. And he's the one that someone at work told him that if he's not a fan of Doctor Who, they're dead to him.
Gotcha.
So even though it's supposed to be about wrestling, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Doctor Who bashing.
Oh.
There's going to be a lot of Simpsons talk.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of comic book talk, as though I just did not talk about comic books for an hour plus.
Yes.
This is my life.
You'll probably have a link on the Twitter machine to that. I might listen to that one so I could tweet back with all the hate for making fun of Doctor Who.
I will.
Okay.
I'll give you the time codes, and I'll send you the YouTube link when he puts the podcast up that way.
Oh, I love YouTube podcasts.
Me too.
Okay.
Oh, boy. So, again, just to close out here, episode 98, we rambled on a little bit, but it's all in good fun. For Todd, this is Leonard. We'll catch you all here next week. Thanks for listening.